Saints, the April 8th total solar eclipse will be absolutely phenomenal. Why? Because it goes over eight cities named Nineveh? No, because of the comet that will be visible at the moment of totality. Saints, that's more rare than anything I can think of. Except for maybe the Chiefs going back-to-back. I'm a Broncos fan. But nonetheless, this eclipse is ominous. Well, it's really a warning sign. I'm sorry, it's not a warning sign. It's an announcement of judgment. Oh, absolutely. In fact, you remember this video, America's Judgment, the Final Hour? When we talked about how Russia and China is going to gang up on America? Well, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that just days after that video was released, that Putin now warns West of risk of nuclear war? That's pretty interesting. Am I surprised? No. Are you surprised? Maybe, if you're new to the channel. But if you've been watching this channel for some time, a nuclear war rapture has been the very topic, main topic, of this channel for quite some time. And so in today's video, we have more details to go over about this eclipse, about why it's pointing to war, why it's also pointing to the rapture, but not on the day of the eclipse. Remember, these are warning signs. They're warning signs. Guys like, hey, things are about to get shaken up. Here's a sign. Except this time with a comet. Anyways, that will be our topic for today. And so with that said, welcome back to Supernatural by Design. My name is Jared. And I pray that you've been having a wonderful and blessed week and that God's grace and peace is with you. And not just any kind of peace, but only a peace that is supernatural by design that Jesus can give us. Only Him. We serve an amazing God and He loves us very much. Oh, and if you're new to the channel and you like a mature study of God's celestial signs, then please consider subscribing. We'd love to have you part of the family here over at Supernatural by Design. And if you're returning or new, then please make sure to hit the like button, comment down below, and share this video. Because any and all interactions you all provide help to support and bless this channel, and I thank you very much. And now with that being said, let's go ahead and dive into our fascinating topic on the total solar eclipse featuring the Devil's Comet. Sorry, I was told folks like a little sensationalism, so I was just trying to be a little sensational with the naming there. But anywho, let's start. Our four main topics for today will be the science of a total solar eclipse. Why? Because it's important to understand solar eclipses from that perspective, scientific, because they aren't random events. Well, anyways, that's topic one. Topic two will be an update, Russia, China, and why this eclipse is pointing to them as God's instrument of judgment against America, which, wrapped up in that, is the nuclear war rapture. And that will lead us into section three, why this solar eclipse is the Amos Code eclipse. And then lastly, and finally, topic number four will be our dear brother in Christ, who went on to be with the Lord already, Dr. Chuck Missler, and his explanation of why America fits the template of the Northern Kingdom of Israel that the prophet Amos went to preach judgment about. Oh, and what God's consequences would be. Now, with that being said, let's talk about the science, the physics of a total solar eclipse, and why it's important to understand them in that context. More or less, to make a case against those that don't believe that solar eclipses are signs. And so, where do we begin? Well, how about with the most scientific verse in the entire Bible? Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, that is, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. That's a bold statement to make. You see, all of creation, when you observe its patterns, that's called science, you can only come to one conclusion, that there's a creator behind the creation. Now, this is no different with solar eclipses. In fact, how about we take a look at the American astronomer Herbert Dowse Curtis, who in the 19th and 20th century participated in 11 expeditions for the study of solar eclipses. So this was your solar eclipse guru of his time. Not to mention, he was the one that postulated that there are galaxies that exist outside the Milky Way. In fact, it turned into a great debate, and Edwin Hubble, who I know you probably are familiar with, as the Hubble telescope is named after him. Well, anyways, in 1920, he would later confirm Curtis's theory. But moreover, Curtis was an amazing astronomer who enjoyed studying solar eclipses. But he was also a Christian. And in his studies, he states, "The more I know of astronomy, the more I believe in God." Fascinating. Or how about Isaac Newton, the founder of calculus? "The most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being." Or another by Isaac Newton, "Gravity explains the motions of the planets, but it cannot explain who set the planets in motion." And here's another Christian astronomer, Johannes Kepler, "The wisdom of the Lord is infinite, as are also his glory and his power. Ye heavens, sing his praises. Sun, moon, and planets, glorify him in your ineffable language. Praise him, celestial harmonies, and all ye who can comprehend them. And thou, my soul, praise thy creator. It is by him and in him that all exist." Fascinating. And I gotta give a shout out to my favorite mathematician, Leonard Euler, who is, oh boy, his accomplishments are amazing. We still use his equations today. In fact, you may even be familiar with the constant E, which is called Euler's number. Yeah, that's that guy. But he states, "For since the fabric of the universe is most perfect and the work of the most wise creator, nothing at all takes place in the universe in which some rule of maximum or minimum does not appear." Saints, the universe in all its glory points to God. Every single detail. No wonder Psalm 19:1 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Amen. And that's just God's celestial objects in general. But does it go deeper? Absolutely. You see, we are told in Genesis 1:14 that the primary purpose of the sun and the moon, as well as the stars, is for signs. Well, what would be a sign? Something that takes place that can only be explained by saying, "Yep, God did that." In fact, the Greek word for signs, one of its definitions is a miracle, or else it wouldn't be a sign. A total solar eclipse matches that characteristic, being only something that God could have set up. To that point, even secular scientists understand that there's a rare thing happening here. In fact, they call it a celestial coincidence. I love it. In short, it's simply an accident of geometry that the apparent disk of the moon is almost exactly the size of the apparent disk of the sun, said astronomer Caleb Sheriff, director of astrobiology at the Center of Columbia University in New York City. You see, they have to call it a celestial coincidence, not just a coincidence, but a celestial coincidence. That's because they understand the magnitude in their rarity and that they shouldn't occur in the first place. So if a total solar eclipse shouldn't occur in the first place, doesn't excuse the fact that just because they happen every 2 times or sometimes 4 times a year, that it's not a sign. Again, they shouldn't occur in the first place. That's the sign, the fact that they're happening. As NASA even quotes a saying, "It is the result of a cosmic coincidence, even though the sun is about 400 times bigger than the moon. It is also about 400 times farther away. Just 400 and 400, just a cosmic coincidence, huh?" You see, it's the science that demonstrates their significance. An observational fact that confirms the Bible telling us their science. So moreover, now, knowing that scientific tidbit, when we look at this solar eclipse, in light of the fact that there's a comet that will be seen at the same time, wow! Saints, that's a sign. That is a sign. All right, that was section one of our 4-day eclipse. Let's go to section two, China and Russia update. But before we get to the update, how about we talk about where we've come from? Because for over 2 years now, we've been talking about Russia and China as God's instrument of judgment against America. And to be fair, I was one of the few voices talking about that. And I was like, "God, why can't I do like rapture dates and give people hope?" And I distinctly remember him saying, "I don't want you to cover that. I want you to cover war." Okay, whatever, Lord, I'll be doomsday, Jarrett. And so even scrolling through my videos, as I would release them, there would always be themes of war. Until one night, he explained why I was covering war, which really culminated in this video here. It's because war is tied to the rapture. And not just any kind of war, but nuclear war. In fact, on the thumbnail, you can see an American and Russian flag. Fast forward from that point, and here we are, saints. Putin warns West of risk of nuclear war. Saints, tension is increasing around the world. I mean, look at Putin's key ally. Check this out. Key Putin ally warns NATO that it's ready for combat. This is Belarus. We've talked about Belarus as being one of the places that lights the tinderbox for this NATO-Russia war. Remember, these guys got tactical nukes over there. And so on one hand, you have this nuclear World War III way up here. Maybe as like an umbrella. And you have all these different points of tension that are connected to that. A nuclear World War III. And it's out of these alliances that form these different points of tension. For example, we have Russia and Belarus versus NATO. And even under that, you could add Germany, which if you recall in the German Connection video, that Germany was responsible for the start of World War I and World War II. And so we want to pay close attention to that country in the news. I think if you recall recently, Germany just had a phone conversation, actually a WebEx conversation, that Russia was able to listen into and record and capture, which demonstrated that Germany had intentions of striking Russia. Or even a little bit before that, you had Germany preparing for Russia to start World War III, leaked war plans reveal. So we definitely want to keep our eye on Germany as well. But also the leader of France, Emmanuel Macron, as his birthday, if you recall, remember the Christmas Star of 2020, 1221? Well, that marked his birthday. And so that's one way that we know we need to watch that guy too, with respects to this NATO-Russia front. Not to mention, he's been the only NATO country, as of yet, willing to send troops to Ukraine. And Putin, in response, stated that any Western troops sent to Ukraine could lead to nuclear war. But downstream from that, we have the Amos Code War. That's what the crisscrossed eclipses are pointing to. Russia and China versus America. Which, stemming from that, is actually our Daniel 7:4 and 7:5 connection, where Daniel 7:4 is the UK and the US and Russia, with the UK being the lion, America being the eagle wings, and Russia being the bear. And it's the eagle wings that get plucked, and something happens to the UK. In fact, that's what this Total Lunar Eclipse Will Be Nuclear video was all about. But we also have the Iran and Israel situation with Haman and Esther. But all of these are being orchestrated to one inevitable conclusion, a nuclear rapture. Now you might be saying to yourself, well, Jared, how do you even know that? Well, that's a fantastic question. It's a great question, actually. So let's prove that the rapture is tied to a nuclear event. Well, let us look at three verses real quick that prove this. Check this out. Let's begin with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 through 9. He states, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, but all these things are merely the beginning." The beginning, that's key right there, of birth pains. Then, that's a big then too, oh boy, they will hand you over to tribulation. That is the time of Jacob's trouble. But let's back up. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's called World War III. And note that Jesus ties World War III to the beginning of birth pains. Remember how I said that was key? Birth pains? Why? Because now we're going to look at the only two other places that Paul mentions specific details about the rapture. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 3 through 4, While they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Interesting. And they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that day would overtake you like a thief. Right? We're not supposed to be surprised by this. But notice we have sudden destruction. We have nation against nation from Matthew 24. Those tie together. And the way that we know that those are linked together is because both Paul and Jesus tie the event to birth pains. But this still hasn't proved anything about it being nuclear. We just know that World War III and sudden destruction. Fantastic. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 52. Behold, I am telling you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Amen. Now, the Greek word for moment, from in a moment, well, the Greek word that's used there is atomo. That's where we get the word atomic from, like an atomic weapon. And so when we compare Jesus and the Apostle Paul from Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see very similar themes being played. In fact, very similar verbiage. And yet we get a unique detail out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that it's nuclear. Hence, a nuclear war rapture. And so now, coming back to our eclipse, under the umbrella of World War III, it is tied to the Amos Code part of our nuclear war rapture. Which again, we discussed more in depth in this video here, America's Judgment, the Final Hour. Definitely check that out. But since that video, more and more headlines are coming out proving this very inevitability. Now get this, from Yahoo News. The current U.S. Defense Secretary, General Lloyd Austin, stated, if Ukraine falls, NATO will have to fight Russia. Oh boy. And this came out February 29th of this year. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, with what weapons? Saying just 5 months ago, back in October of 2023. Check out this article. U.S. eyes weapon stockpiles as concerns grow about supporting both Ukraine and Israel's wars. Direct quote from the article. Concern is growing within the Pentagon over the potential need to stretch its increasingly scarce ammunition stockpiles to support Ukraine and Israel in two separate wars, according to multiple U.S. defense officials. Now, what's caused all that? Well, look at the bottom. At a time when the U.S. and its allies and partners have been stretched thin from more than 18 months of fighting in Ukraine. And then this guy is going to say, hey, we're going to have to go fight Russia. Saints, America is walking itself into a trap. I mean, it's the writing's on the wall, literally. God is putting an X over America just to confirm that point. I mean, it's like watching a slow train wreck. And again, we've been talking about this for 2 years now. Anywho, one last article that recently came out from RT. Russia has world's most diverse nuclear arsenal. U.S. general. That's not Russia saying that. That's the U.S. saying that. And it goes on to state, Russia poses a serious challenge to America's military dominance. Air Force General Anthony Cotton, who heads the U.S. Strategic Command, said on Thursday, Moscow already possesses a nuclear arsenal that exceeds Washington's and is actively modernizing it. And then here's the icing on the cake, tying China and Russia to all this with the Amos Code. Together with China, Russia is swiftly improving its position against the U.S. and its allies in multiple domains, the general warned. Okay, now that's section two, demonstrating this further escalation of how Russia and China are going to come against the U.S. as God's instrument of judgment against the U.S. So, let's now move into section three, which I'm happily calling this section, Amos, not Jonah. Now, I know there's a lot of fervor around this sign of Jonah concept, and I will admit it's pretty neat that the eclipse path goes over seven cities in the U.S. called Nineveh, Or at least I thought it did. That's what everyone was saying. Until you dive deeper into the details. Because it turns out, the path of totality, when the total solar eclipse can be seen 100%, only goes over 3 cities, not 7. I mean, I used to live in Missouri. Nineveh is way up north. See it on a dot? Again, this is not to take shots at the viewpoint, but only to examine the details that surround the argument. However, I just ask that you please just listen to what I have to say and present a biblical case about why the sign of Jonah is not a correct application for this eclipse. Now, sure, our conclusions are the same, right? That the rapture is close. I wouldn't go so far as to say the rapture is going to happen on the eclipse, that's for sure. In fact, I'll even go so far as to say it causes a fundamental difference in interpretation of God's celestial signs in general when we try to apply rapture dates to celestial signs. But at least we agree that the rapture is close. However, the intended purpose of this section is that by calling this eclipse a sign of Jonah, it's misleading on several fronts. But first, let's start with a Bible verse that is very relevant to this topic. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You see, one of the things that I think we have to realize about America is that God has blessed America in so many ways, whether it's financially or a strong military or the resources to spread the gospel around the entire world. It's defense and support of Israel. At one point, America was the beacon of the gospel, and largely, those days have passed. Moreover, judgment will begin here. Now, one of the verses that we used for the Amos Code comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, this is the Apostle Paul explaining that the stories that we read in the Old Testament are a template, a model for any given nation. And so we can read in the Old Testament the times that Israel did well and God blessed them. But we can also see the times when Israel did bad and God judged them. Now, we use this verse in the Amos Code to show that America matches the model of the Northern Kingdom. And I'm going to let Dr. Chuck Missler explain more about that in Section 4. However, does America match the model of Nineveh? I think it's a very fair question to ask, especially if we're calling this eclipse the sign of Jonah. Well, let's just compare the two cultures. On one hand, we have America, founded as a Christian nation. And yet, on the other hand, we have Nineveh, not founded on a belief in God. With America, we've had several warnings from prophetic teachers. Could even go with Billy Graham, who said if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Because of the morality in America. Well, Nineveh was warned by the prophet Jonah. So those match. But here's the real split and what I really want us to think about here. When Nineveh was warned by Jonah, they repented and God's judgment didn't take place. So it begs the question, is the expectation of calling it the sign of Jonah that America is going to repent and God's judgment will not come? Moreover, is the total solar eclipse a warning sign or is it simply an announcement of judgment? Well, to answer that question, I'm going to let Brother Jonathan Kahn answer it. Now, I always don't agree with everything he says, but this was very profound. And something I knew in my spirit when the event took place. Check this out.
What happens when a nation that has known God turns away from God and he calls to it? There's a warning. They're shaking. In mercy, they're shaking. Well, there's a classic pattern in the Bible. It happens with Judah, happens with Israel, happens again in the time of Messiah. Before the great shakings come, or before the judgment comes, there is a warning, an initial shaking, and that comes in the form of an enemy invasion or enemy attack. Happened in Israel with the Assyrians, happened with Judah with the Babylonians years before. And God is saying, listen, I'm warning you. You have to come back. It's a wake-up call. You know, I mean, all of us have been praying for America to come back, but we need a wake-up call. So the first thing is that it happens years before. And so it happened with America. With the Harbinger, what that opens up is when 9/11 happened, it had every one of the signs of this biblical mystery. I mean, every one of them, these nine harbingers that appeared in the last days of ancient Israel, appear now, a lot of them right where we are right now. I mean, we're talking about this New York City, South New York City, which is where we are. And some of them appeared in New York City, some appeared in Washington. It was the initial warning. The template doesn't stop there. I knew that that was not the end, that was the beginning.
See, 9/11 was the warning sign. That was the warning sign. It also got the ball rolling on the last of the last days, which is another topic in itself. However, 9/11 was America's warning sign, and ever since then, America has drifted further and further away from God. And that was 23 years ago. And now here we are with this X pattern over America. Now there is no surprises to God. God knew exactly how America would respond. Now, here's what's very fascinating about that. Well, as you know, in the Amos Code series, it's Amos 3:11. That 11 part will be significant here in a moment. As is the number for judgment, in some instances. But that moreover, the judgment that God brought against the northern kingdom was a foreign nation. Now, check this out. We're going to see that exact same idea after we watch this small clip, which is from Senator Tom Daschle on 9/12 of 2001, one day after the 9/11 attack, where he quotes Isaiah 9:10. Check this out.
Nothing can replace the losses of those that have suffered. I know that there is only the smallest measure of inspiration that can be taken from this devastation. But there is a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to all of us at times like this. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars.
Now, only if he knew the context of that verse, because it's Israel's response to the initial attack that came against Israel. Just like 9/11 was that initial attack. And although he stopped the verse at verse 10, God responds in verse 9:11. Interesting. Therefore, the Lord raises superior adversaries against them from Rezin. Saints, that's the same exact theme as the Amos Code. And to that point, it was in 2001 that Russia and China formed an alliance. That very year. You can't make this stuff up. You see, America's time to repent, if it followed the model of Nineveh, has passed. It's past. So just holistically, America does not fit the model of Nineveh. It just doesn't. But what about the terminology of the sign of Jonah? Well, that comes from the New Testament. And here's what's really odd about calling this total solar eclipse the sign of Jonah. When we look at Matthew chapter 16, the rabbis are asking Jesus for a sign from the heavens, which is completely an odd request considering that they missed the star of his birth. And he says, nope, I'm not going to give you that, but I will give you the sign of Jonah, which, as we learn from Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, being that Jonah was in the whale for 3 days and three nights, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, we even learn in chapter 2 that Jonah has seaweed wrapped around his head, a unique detail pointing to what? The foreshadow of when Christ would wear the crown of thorns. So you see, the sign of Jonah was fulfilled in that generation. Jesus even tells us it was fulfilled in the generation he was living in. And so this context of trying to put the sign of Jonah with the total solar eclipse is completely farce. It doesn't fit the model of Nineveh, nor does it even fit the context of when Jesus says the sign of Jonah. He denied him a celestial sign. And yet somehow we're taking a celestial sign and applying it to the sign of Jonah. But moreover, saints, this ends section 3. And now let's head into section 4 with Dr. Chuck Missler and his beautiful explanation of how America is tied to the Amos Code. Now, this is the intro video of that Amos Code series. However, I did add a little tag at the end, so it is a little bit different. But nonetheless, check this out.
The book of Amos, and this is just the introduction. Amos is sent to Israel at a time when the nation feels militarily secure and prosperous. We'll look at that. It was the best of all possible times. And yet, in spite of that, they're turning to idolatry and they're abandoning their heritage, the Northern Kingdom. Does that sound familiar? You're beginning to get a feeling already, maybe, how relevant this book is to us in our day. And that's going to echo all the way through this with some surprises that many scholars have missed. In any case, we'll get into that. Well, let's talk about Amos the man. The word Amos is an infrequently used verb, which means to load a burden upon an animal. As a noun, it means a burden. Amos the man, came from an agricultural background, had no formal religious credentials. He wasn't a prophet, he wasn't a priest or anything like that. He was a foreigner to the Northern Kingdom. Keep that in mind as we read his elegant work. And just to get a background here, if we look at you, as you all know, when Solomon finally died, there was a civil war. And the nation of Israel split into two houses. The Southern Kingdom called itself Judah. The Northern Kingdom called itself Israel. The Northern Kingdom, to whom Amos's message was directed, was at the zenith of their power. Never had it so good. Now, the Northern Kingdom was under Jeroboam II here. He was the fourth king of the Jehu dynasty. He had a reign of 41 years. Jeroboam II had ironclad military strength, strong standing army, ironclad defensive configuration. Commerce thrived. An upper class emerged, expensive homes were built, the rich enjoyed an indolent, indulgent lifestyle. Does that sound like anyone you know? The poor became targets for legal and economic exploitation. They always are. Slavery for debt was easily accepted. Standards of morality had sunk to a new low ebb. They weren't great to begin with. Religion, understand that's not religion in this negative sense, flourished. The people thronged to the shrines for the yearly festivals, enthusiastically offering their sacrifices. But you'll quickly find out God was not impressed. They steadfastly maintained that their God was with them and considered themselves immune to disaster. I'm hoping this has a familiar ring to it, okay? They were very prosperous. Samaria, their capital, they had peace and power of conquest for 41 years. Think about that. That's a long time. They had new markets, they had trade in every direction, they had a growing wealthy class. Many had summer and winter homes. They had a BMW in every garage, to use a modern vernacular. Charles Dickens opens his famous novel, Tale of Two Cities, with an interesting line that's will echo all through this in a sense. He was talking about London and Paris, and a different, but his line is very well known. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. Very Dickens-like remark, but very descriptive of this period. Because from their point of view, it was the best of times. And yet two prophets, Hosea locally and Amos from the south, preached not really repentance, really simply announcing their destiny. I'm going to catch on that as we go. So there's a message here of warning. Amos's improbable warnings were fulfilled in less than 50 years with the utter destruction of the northern kingdom. They did not welcome the uninvited prophet from the south, Amos. His message was that Israel was experiencing mercy before the storm. His message is one of God's impending judgment. And I'll let you think, as we go through the study, come to your own conclusions of whether or not there's a parallel today. United States today, are we militarily secure? We think we're prosperous only because we can borrow. Godly foundations are abandoned in our country. Prayer, God in schools, and all of that. You've all heard that echo before. Definition of marriage itself and family. Sexual perversion is promoted in this country. Are we experiencing grace before judgment? Are we in the twilight of our years? Is it the twilight's last gleaming is the question. I encourage you to study the book of Hosea, chapter 4 through 14 particularly, or the book of Amos. The parallels between the northern kingdom and the America are astonishing, but you need to discover those for yourselves. And if the parallels are parallel, what did God do about the northern kingdom? He used their enemies as his instrument of judgment.
Wasn't that fascinating? I miss Dr. Chuck Missler. But one thing I wanted to highlight before we close out this video, it's absolutely fascinating detail, as it relates to our Amos code. If we pull up that verse, an adversary shall surround the land, and he shall bring down your defenses. And it's that key word, defenses, that's going to be very unique here in just a moment. Because when we bring up the connection to Isaiah 9:11, along with the Pentagon, as it was attacked on 9/11 as well. But did you know that the World Trade Center attack marked the 60th year since the construction of the Pentagon? And to further prove this point, that the solar eclipse is pointing to this Amos prophecy, specifically about bringing down your defenses, is that because the Pentagon was a part of the 9/11 attack, the Pentagon is the department, get this, the Department of Defense. You see? God foreshadowing America's judgment. And not only that, but united America's adversaries during that same year, China and Russia. Saints, America's judgment is coming. Yes, a nation can cross God's red line. We learn that in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16. There will come a point when repentance is no longer an option. And America is at that point. And therefore, calling it the sign of Jonah is incorrect. But wow, we have talked about a lot. So let us go ahead and just recap, and then we'll close out this video. So in section 1, we discovered that the science of a total solar eclipse confirms Genesis 1:14, that these celestial events are signs, they're miracles. They shouldn't occur in the first place, but they do. And then in our second section, we looked at some war news updates as it pertains to this Amos Code judgment, and all under the umbrella of a nuclear World War III, which is the moment of the rapture. And so, even though we're talking about a lot of war here, realize it's also connected to the rapture. And that's fascinating. And then, in section 3, we took a look at the sign of Jonah and saw that the model or the template of the city of Nineveh doesn't match America. Nor when Jesus states that the sign of Jonah is a celestial sign. And therefore, this celestial sign on April 8th isn't the sign of Jonah. And then finally, through Dr. Chuck Missler's wonderful teaching on the Amos Code, we saw even more concretely how America fits the model and mold of the Northern Kingdom. And because of that fact, the inevitable consequences that the Northern Kingdom faced. God using a foreign nation as his instrument of judgment. But even so, as we know, this 4-8 eclipse marks judgment. But the first leg of this eclipse pattern also points to the rapture, a promise of a blessing and a promise of judgment. The sudden destruction at the moment of the rapture. 11:11. The very two meanings of the number 11. And that these two solar eclipses, just in general, is a major climatic point on the celestial countdown to Christ's thousand-year reign. And so, saints, I hope and pray that this video was helpful and useful and demonstrates just how close you and I are to the rapture. Now, we don't know the day or the hour, but we can see it's on the horizon. And that is a wonderful promise we can take to the bank. And now, for the conclusion of this video, the most important part of this video is asking the question, are you saved? Because if not, let's get you saved right now. And so let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4. For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, God's word testifies of the prophecies that Jesus Christ would come to fulfill. What do I mean by that? Well, we find glimpses of these prophecies within the Old Testament, like Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. You see, Jesus Christ died for my sins and for your sins, past, present, and future. You see, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet we are justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And so, if you truly believe that, then Romans chapter 10, verses 9 tells us this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why? For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that, beloved, can be you. Right now. Right now. Jesus loves you, and he wants to have a supernatural, by design relationship with you. He loves you so much. So much. And with that said, this is where we're going to end today's video. Saints, I love y'all. Jesus loves y'all. God bless. And Maranatha, King Jesus.